The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O God.
Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Precious loving God, we give you thanks for this day, this moment, and this time. As we gather now, Lord, to hear the message that you have for us, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. Lord, I pray that you speak to me, for me, and through me, so that the words that are heard are your words to your people. Lord, we pray that the meditations of all of our hearts are acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and redeemer. Amen. Ponder with me the question, whose instructions are we following? Whose instructions are we following? This past week, the nation sat holding their breath, awaiting the decision of 8 individuals who were given instructions to process information that they had heard over a 3-week period and return a judgment as to the guilt or non-guilt of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin in the death of George Floyd. This was a case that rocked our nation, permeating the fabrics of our society when it took center stage on May 25th, 2020. It occurred in the midst of a physically distant isolation and quarantine due to the COVID-19 virus. Like the COVID virus, which has forever changed our world, creating a timeline of pre-COVID, during COVID, and a still long anticipated moment of post-COVID, George Floyd's death awakened or brought to the surface the issue of racism in this country that was thought to have been a thing of our past. Instead, we have discovered, like magma in a volcano, racism and all the harmful implications have lain dormant, simmering under the surface, out of sight for many, though very present for those who lived it daily. On May 25th, 2020, it erupted on the streets of Minneapolis as a nation and a world watched the death of a human being, a Black man, in the custody of white police officers before our very eyes. The jury were giving instructions to make a decision that would have ramifications on the life of another individual. It would also impact the nation's perception of whether justice had taken place. These instructions were grounded in our nation's laws on what constituted a crime and how a person was to be judged. Yet a tension permeated the weighting of their decision. It was not the accuracy of the actual laws, but whether the applications of the laws would be done justly. And unfortunately, justly was layered in the historical context of differential application based upon the color of skin. Some may argue perceived differential application, but for those living it, perception became their reality. So we waited for the outcome, wondering, would we experience another massive eruption? The simmering tensions that had risen to the surface on May 25th, 2020, that has remained a steady flow. Would we once again see the cries of inequities and need for justice that had become the constant tension in our nation, our communities, and even our families? In both of our texts today, we also see examples of instructions given. The first is in the passage of Acts where we encounter Philip. Philip was one of the seven men that had been selected by the people and given charge by the 12 disciples or apostles to care for the people. We were briefly introduced to Philip last week as we learned the story of another man selected, Stephen. We enter Philip's story as he is preaching, teaching, and healing individuals in Samaria. He's engaged in the assignment given to him, not just by the disciples, but by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. As we enter the story, Philip is given another set of instructions by the angel of the Lord. The first, get up and go to the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, the wilderness road. While on the road, Philip sees a chariot traveling and gets his second instruction. Go over to the chariot and join it. The instructions to Philip are clear. Go, join. Philip, however, does not know what it will mean for him to follow the instructions. It is up to Philip to follow through. And because he does, we are told about his encounter with an Ethiopian eunuch. This is a person who is in charge of the entire treasury of the Ethiopian queen. He was an Ethiopian official, a person who appears to be a believer in God because he is reading scriptures, a black man from Africa, a person whose sexuality, eunuch, has been used to describe him. It is unclear if he's Jewish, but he is returning home from worship in Jerusalem. Why is all this detail important? Because it points to how different this person is and how unlikely such an encounter should have been. But because Philip listened to the Holy Spirit's instructions, an opportunity was presented to share the gospel of Jesus. And in the sharing the good news of Jesus the Christ, the Ethiopian official, a eunuch, not only learned about Jesus, but was baptized. When Philip was asked by the Ethiopian eunuch, look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? We learned nothing. There was nothing. Nothing prevented the Ethiopian eunuch from being baptized. Not his sexuality, not his ethnicity, not even the religious practices that would have prevented him from participating in temple rituals. Philip did not let any of the social norms get in the way of ministering. Because Philip followed his instructions, the Ethiopian official received the gift of baptism and became a follower of Christ, covered under Christ's righteousness. The scripture says the Ethiopian eunuch went away rejoicing. And some scholars attribute the strong Christian presence in Ethiopia today to this very encounter. What about Philip? He was sent on another assignment. Our second example is in the Gospel of Luke. Luke describes Jesus' encounter with the disciples after Jesus' resurrection. He meets them in the room where they're huddled, discussing all that had happened. And the scripture tells us that Jesus opened their minds to the scriptures. In other words, Jesus prepared their minds to receive and accept the many teachings that he had shared with them and was now fulfilling in their presence. And then Jesus gave them instructions. Repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his, Jesus's name, to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed to all nations. All people are to receive the good news that their sins are forgiven, that they can seek forgiveness before God, and that God's grace and abundant mercy is available to them. All people. It is what Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch. It is what the eunuch is believed to have done when he left Philip. It is what we are being asked to do today. But following instructions are not always easy. Following God's instructions, however, are not optional. We are reminded throughout scripture that God wants us to love our neighbor, no exception. God wants us to do justice, show kindness, and walk humbly with God. And so the 8 jury did not have an easy task before them. Following the instructions given to them meant applying the rules and guidance of our laws in an equitable manner. It meant honoring the many testimonies of the witnesses who presented in the case, the many individuals who had the courage to speak out about an injustice that took place at risk to themselves and how they would be perceived by society. It had meant for some witnesses breaking rank with the accepted norm of behaving. And for this jury, they were also being called to break rank with the historical norm of how justice has been applied in past cases like this. It meant holding up to the accountability built into the laws for situations like this. And so we waited, and the verdict came. Guilty on all 3 accounts. And so we waited and experienced a release of breath, of attention so palatable it could be felt and had been felt for almost a year. And now we wait as the list of names of brown and black bodies who are killed in encounters with police continue to grow. And now we wait as the tension between those called to protect and serve are misjudged and who run the risk that by wearing the color of the uniform that they do, they will be seen as not having integrity because a few have been seen as not. And now we wait for our minds to be opened to accept and live into the proclamation that repentance and forgiveness of our sins is for all people, that the command to care and love one another is not optional. The time to do so is now, and we cannot continue to ignore this command. As the songwriter wrote, "The kingdom of God is justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, and open in us the gates of your kingdom." Let us pray. Please, Holy Spirit, come, Lord, and open in us, all of us, the gates of your kingdom. Remind us yet again of the gift that we have given to you, that we can all seek forgiveness as we come to you repenting of our sins. Help us, Lord, to extend the very grace and mercy that was abundantly given to us, to all people, to each other, and to see each other as you have made us. We desperately need your kingdom of justice and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.